Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Brave as a Mouse by Niccolo Garozzi. The story starts with a picture of a room. It's a very quiet, still-looking room. The walls are painted light green, and there are pale blue curtains hanging down the sides of the windows. There's a table with a tablecloth on it and some chairs pushed up. And there's another table or a shelf on the side in this picture that shows a fishbowl with one little goldfish in it.
Would you like to play?
Mouse asked the fish. Now, next to the fishbowl, we see a little white and brown mouse that isn't very much bigger than the goldfish.
Yes,
the fish answered. And so they did. Now, in this picture, we see different views of the goldfish bowl. In one of them, the mouse is standing down on the table with his front paws leaning against the fishbowl, and the fish is jumping up out of the fishbowl, leaving bubbles flying through the air. Then we see the little mouse getting in the fishbowl and swimming across the top of the water while the fish swims under him. And then we see the little mouse sitting up on the edge of the fishbowl, and the fish is blowing bubbles up at him. And then we see the mouse sitting on the edge of the fishbowl with a long straw, and he's blowing bubbles down to the fish. But then three others wanted to play too. Now the picture gets darker looking, and we can't see what the three others are except their shadows. I'll describe them to you. The shadows come across the floor and sort of up the wall, and the shadows have triangular ears on the top of their heads. Do you know what they are? They are cats. Black or gray colored cats. They come up to the fishbowl and get really close to it and start staring at the fish like they want to try to get the fish out. But Mouse had an idea. Now we see the little mouse down on the floor waving its arms so that the cat's attention goes down to where the mouse is and away from the fish. They start to chase the mouse. They run down off the table and across the floor. They run through a doorway, and still we can see their shadows following them. And then they run into a room that has a great big bed in it. And a couple of them are on the bed, and one of them is clawing up the curtains, trying to catch the mouse, who is running up the curtains himself. It was a brave idea. But was it a good idea? Because now the cats are chasing the little mouse down the stairs, and the mouse jumps into a doorway that's only partially closed, and in come the three cats right behind him. The little mouse is inside a pantry of some kind. It's a room that has lots of shelves and baskets. It has a broom leaning up against the wall, and on the shelves are all different kinds of jars and pitchers and plates and bottles. Down on the floor, there are three bags that have something that looks like it could be cat food inside it. And on the outside of the bags, there are actually the silhouettes of cats drawn. The little mouse looks like he's cornered against the bags. And if you look real closely in this picture, you can see that there are other mice in this pantry. They're hiding inside a pitcher. They're hiding behind a broom. They're hiding behind a bottle. Fortunately, the cats found something tastier. Sure enough, the cats come into the room and they start eating that cat food out of those bags. The little mouse looked very relieved. All that eating made them sleepy, but Mouse knew they would not sleep forever. Now we're back in another quiet room that's painted sort of pale blue and gray, and there's a big long couch in the room. On one end, up on the armrest, is one of the cats asleep. Another one is right in the middle of the couch, lying on his stomach. And the third one is leaning up in the corner of the couch on his back with his big fat tummy sticking out. Down on the floor is our little mouse that we've seen in the story. And behind the door are two more little mice. Mouse had an idea. He gets his other mice friends to come in. Two of them are carrying a teacup, and two of them are carrying a saucer that would go with the teacup, and they're tiptoeing right past those three cats that are asleep on the couch. It was a wild idea. Now, on the bottom of the picture, on the floor, there are two mice, and they are holding the saucer or the plate on their heads, kind of, and their shoulders. On top of that plate is one mouse standing on one foot, balancing like a ballerina. And on his nose, there's another mouse balancing on one foot. And he has his arms up in the air, holding up the bottom of the teacup. At the top of the picture, our little mouse, the brown and white one, has his tail stuck through the handle of the teacup. So they're going to pull the teacup and the plate up. And then the little mice go over to the fishbowl, and guess what they're doing? They are carefully pulling the fish out of the water, and they are putting it in the teacup where they have also put some water. And now the five mice, remember the original one plus four more, are carrying the saucer and the teacup away from the table. And in the teacup, we can only see the goldfish's tail hanging out. We now see them coming sneakily downstairs to a doorway. And they've opened the door and they're peeking out. People are walking down the sidewalk with their pets. And the mice come scurrying along the sidewalk, holding the saucer and holding the teacup with the goldfish's tail still peeking out of it. It was a bold idea. That means very brave. They've come to the sidewalk end, and they're now crossing the street into a great big park. They go across a bridge in the park, a footbridge. It's the kind that has curvy arches underneath it, and the top of the bridge is sort of curving too. It's very beautiful, and beside it are some weeping willow trees as they go over a little creek in the park. Then they get to the side of the bridge, and they say, "Are you ready?" Mouse asked, and they're looking down into the teacup with the goldfish, who's still in there safe with the water, only his tail's hanging out. And the other four mice are on the other side of the saucer looking at the goldfish and our brown mouse. And then they all tip the teacup over. The goldfish goes, "Woo," way down. And he says in a great big voice, "Yes," the fish answered. He's going down into the creek that's in the park. Now we see, as if we're on the edge of the bridge with the little mice, and we're looking down where there are circles coming out from the water where the goldfish went in. It's called spirals, when things go out from one point and they get bigger and bigger circles. On the water, there are some lily pads and a leaf that has fallen out of a tree. Was it a good idea? And the last picture shows the goldfish leaping up out of the water. He's not in that fishbowl anymore. And he says, "Yes, it was." He's surrounded by the bubbles that are coming up out of the water all around him, free as he can be. The end. Trombone Shorty by Troy Trombone Shorty Andrews, illustrated by Caldecott Honor winner Brian Collier. Where you at? Where you at? We have our way of living down here in New Orleans and our own way of talking, too. And that's what we like to say when we want to tell a friend hello. So, where yet? Lots of kids have nicknames, but I want to tell you the story of how I got mine. Just like when you listen to your favorite song, let's start at the beginning, because this is a story about music. The illustrations here are three different views of a boy. He has dark skin, he's an African-American kid, and he is playing a huge trombone, and there are spirals coming out of the trombone to indicate music. But before you can understand how much music means to me, you have to know how important it is in my hometown, my greatest inspiration. I grew up in a neighborhood in New Orleans called Treme. Any time of day or night, you could hear music floating in the air. Now we see this young boy walking down a street. The picture shows a house that has balloons all around it, many different colors of balloons. And it also shows a stoplight and a telephone pole. The boy is wearing red shorts and a white tank top. There was music in my house, too. My big brother James played the trumpet so loud you could hear him halfway across town. He was the leader of his own band, and my friends and I would pretend to be in the band, too. Now it shows his big brother sitting in an old piano playing, and it shows this boy, Trombone Shorty, pretending that he's playing an instrument. He has on a long-sleeved green shirt. The next picture shows his brother wearing a short-sleeved green shirt with a trumpet up to his mouth, and his brother says, "Follow me," James would say. There's one time every year that's more exciting than any other, Mardi Gras. Parades fill the streets, and beaded necklaces are thrown through the air to the crowd. I love the brass bands with their own trumpets, trombones, saxophones, and the biggest brass instrument of them all, the tuba, which rested over the musician's head like an elephant's trunk. "Where yet? Where yet?" the musicians would call. On the top of the page is one of these bands marching through the street with their brass instruments and a great big drum. And then on the bottom part of the page, it shows the younger people learning to play instruments. On the wall behind them, it says, "Dedicated to the preservation of jazz," which is a kind of music that's very American. All day long, I could see brass bands parade by my house while my neighbors danced along. I loved these parades during Mardi Gras because they made everyone forget about their troubles for a little while. People didn't have a lot of money in Treme, but we always had lots of music. This page has a photograph with the little boy turned around looking over the heads of other people in the crowd, and he's smiling real big. But in the back of the picture, it has paintings of houses and other people who are attending the parade, and always those balloons that are purple, green, blue, yellow. I listen to all these sounds and mix them together, just like how we made our food. We take one big pot and throw in sausage, crab, shrimp, chicken, vegetables, rice, whatever's in the kitchen, and stir it all together and let it cook. When it's done, it's the most delicious taste you've ever tried. We call it gumbo, and that's what I wanted my music to sound like. Different styles combined to create my own musical gumbo. Now we see a picture of a woman in a blue long-sleeved shirt, and she's putting shrimp into a big pot. And out the window, we see other people playing instruments marching down the street. But first, I needed an instrument. The great thing about music is that you don't even need a real instrument to play. So my friends and I decided to make our own. Now we see a close-up drawing of Trombone Shorty, and behind him are five other boys, and it looks like they are making the motions of playing instruments. We'll find out in a minute. We might have sounded different from the real brass bands, but we feel like the greatest musicians of Treme. We were making music, and that's all that mattered. Then one day I found a broken trombone that looked too beaten up to make music anymore. It didn't sound perfect, but finally, with a real instrument in my hand, I was ready to play. So Trombone Shorty is standing with this broken down looking trombone, and he's in a yellow t-shirt with another long sleeve t-shirt under it. Behind him are his friends wearing different kinds of shirts. One has stripes, one's pale blue, one's white. And they have other instruments that they have made. One's made a drum out of a box, and it looks like another one has a whole bunch of boxes piled together that he's going to play something on. All around them, we see the neighborhood, and it's not a real fancy neighborhood. In fact, it looks like it's kind of beaten up. The buildings don't have much paint on them, and there are plants overgrowing everything. The next time the parade went by my house, I grabbed that trombone and headed out into the street. My brother James noticed me playing along and smiled proudly. "Trombone Shorty," he called out, because the instrument was twice my size. "Where you at?" Now we can see Trombone Shorty, the little boy, out amongst all the other people in the parade, and the trombone is a lot bigger than he is. From that day on, everyone called me Trombone Shorty. I took that trombone everywhere I went and never stopped playing. I was so small that sometimes I fell right over to the ground because it was so heavy. But I always got back up, and I learned to hold it up high. I listened to my brother play songs over and over, and I taught myself those songs too. I practiced day and night, and sometimes I fell asleep with my trombone in my hands. Here we see him in his bed at night, and the trombone is right with him. He even has the covers covering part of it. The blanket is covering part of the trombone. And in this photograph, there are also bubbly-looking shapes, and I wonder if those are some of the things he's dreaming about. One day, my mom surprised me with tickets to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, the best and biggest music festival in town. We went to see Bo Diddley, who my mom said was one of the most important musicians of all time. And as I watched him on stage, I raised my trombone to my lips and started to play along. He stopped his band in the middle of the song and asked the crowd, "Who's that playing out there?" Here the picture shows Trombone Shorty, and he's much smaller than the other people in the room or in the crowd, and he's got his great big old trombone that he's playing on. Everyone started pointing, but Bo Diddley couldn't see me because I was the smallest one in the place. So my mom held me up in the air and said, "That's my son, Trombone Shorty." "Well, Trombone Shorty, come on up here," Bo Diddley said. The picture shows a lot of sky with some clouds in it, and then lots and lots of people standing listening to Bo Diddley play. He has a guitar, and he's wearing a straw hat on his head, and he has on a white and green diagonally striped shirt. In the crowd, we see the mom holding up the little boy with his big trombone, and we also see some of those balloons again, yellow, purple, green, blue. The crowd passed me overhead until I was standing on the stage next to Bo Diddley himself. I walked right up to the microphone and held my trombone high up in the air, ready to blow. "What do you want to play?" Bo Diddley asked. "Follow me," I said. The picture shows mostly the boy with his great big trombone, but right behind him is the man, Bo Diddley, and then way back in the distance, instead of a drawing of all the people, it has a photograph of all the people that were there at that concert. After I played with Bo Diddley, I knew I was ready to have my own band. I got my friends together, and we called ourselves the 5 o'clock band, because that was the time we went out to play each day after finishing our homework. We played all around New Orleans. I practiced and practiced, and soon my brother James asked me to join his band. When people wondered who the kid in the band was, he'd proudly say, "That's my little brother, Trombone Shorty. Where you at?" Now we see just the feet of the people who are playing. They're on the sidewalk, and it's a sidewalk that's made out of a lot of bricks laid down, and some of them are laid in a circle design. In the middle of the circle, we see the legs and feet of Trombone Shorty. He's holding a trombone and a trumpet. And behind him are the feet of other people who are playing drums. And now I have my own band called Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue, named after a street in Treme. I've played all around the world, but I always come back to New Orleans. And when I'm home, I make sure to keep my eyes on the younger musicians in town and help them out, just like my brother did for me. We can see a hot air balloon in different places. In one of them, it's in Italy, I believe, with lots of rust tile roofs and a church down below. And then the hot air balloon is flying near the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And then we see it again in another city in Europe. The hot air balloon has the words Trombone Shorty written around it. Today I play at the same New Orleans Jazz Festival where I once played with Bo Diddley, and when the performance ends, I lead a parade of musicians around just like I used to do in the streets of Treme with my friends.
Where yet? Where yet?
I still keep my trombone in my hands, and I will never let it go. This book ends with some photographs of the real boy that this story is about. And my goodness, he's very, very short when he's first playing the trombone. All the grown-ups around him are about 3 feet taller than he is. And then it shows him with another man kneeling down watching him. And finally, at the very end, is a color photograph of Trombone Shorty the way he looks today. He has very short hair, and he's wearing jeans and a pale blue tank top. And the mission of the Trombone Story Foundation is to preserve the rich musical history of New Orleans. The Trombone Shorty Foundation and Tulane University partnered to create the Trombone Shorty Music Academy, which provides music and business education, instruction, and mentorship experience to New Orleans high school students who are gifted in music. Experienced instructors help young, underserved musicians express themselves and pursue their dreams while also supporting their community. Please visit tromboneshortyfoundation.org. Somewhere by Walter de la Mare. The picture shows that it's nighttime. There's a full moon in the sky and clouds drifting past the moon. And we're down at the bottom of a hill. There are all kinds of animals out. There's a deer standing in the stream, and there's a squirrel, a rabbit with a white tail. And then there's a little child leaning over. Her hands are on her knees, and she's bending down to ask two other little rabbits a question. Up at the top of the hill, there's a house sitting between two big trees. Here's what the little child is asking the rabbits.
Would you tell me the way to somewhere? 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 I have heard of a place called somewhere, but know not where it can be. It makes no difference whether or not I go in dreams or trudge on foot. Could you tell me the way to somewhere? The somewhere meant for me? There's a little old house in somewhere. 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 Funny little house with a cat and a mouse, just room enough for three. A kitchen, a larder, a bin for bread, a string of candles or stars instead, a table, a chair, and a four-post bed. There's room for us all in somewhere, for the cat and the mouse and me. Pussy is called Skim in somewhere, somewhere. Meow, meow, in somewhere. S-K-I-M-M-E. Miss Mouse is scarcely 1 inch tall, so she never needed a name at all. And though you call and call and call, there squeaks no answer, great or small, though her tail is a sight times longer than this is likely to be. For I want to be off to somewhere, to far, lone, lovely somewhere, no matter where somewhere be. There's a picture of the cat. And in front of her is the little tiny mouse who has a piece of grass that she's tickling the cat's nose with. It makes no difference whether or not I flit in sleep or trudge on foot or this time tomorrow, how far I've got, summer or winter, cold or hot, where or when or why or what. Please,
tell me the way to somewhere, 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 somewhere. The somewhere meant for me. Puss is called Skim in somewhere, somewhere, meow, meow, in somewhere, S-K-I-M-M-E. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.